Thanksgiving is usually thought of and pictured as a celebration with family and friends, gathering around a big meal with all the trimmings.
But here on the streets, for thousands who are less fortunate, like those facing homelessness, places like City Team in downtown Oakland become places of refuge where all are welcome to come in and receive a full and bountiful meal. Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. Now, we've gone to a ministry called City Team that helps people who are experiencing homelessness, poverty, hunger, and addiction. Their programs are in 5 cities across the United States.
We're at their location in downtown Oakland, California, meeting with Teddy Feldman. He's now on staff here, but was also one of those on the outside struggling as he shares his story about how the Lord brought him in.
You really have a heart for the Lord. I mean, to be concerned about every kind of possible need that people have just to be able to make it in the world. And how did the Lord lay that on your heart? How did you happen to come to work at City Team?
Simple story is that I was at the bar drinking on the corner, and I came out and I walked around the corner and the lights were on, and I asked somebody who was smoking outside, what is this place? And he told me, hey, this is a 1-year, you know what I mean, discipleship life transformation program, residential. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. In the back of my mind, I was like it was a godsend, and I knew it because I was struggling with drinking. I was pretty suicidal. I was depressed. I was doing harder drugs, you know what I mean, in West Oakland. And
you knew you were in trouble?
Yeah, I had been in trouble for some years. I had tried to quit on and off for years, but I'd never reached out for help. So I'd spent like 6 months clean, or, you know, 8 months clean, or maybe, you know, never a year, but like little since I was 16. I mean, I've been doing drugs and everything since I was 12, but I started like quitting and trying to get off of everything from like 16. So.
Now, you said you knew it was a God thing. Did you have a faith in God at that time, or did you grow up in a Christian home?
I definitely grew up in a crazy home, definitely not Christian, just neglect, abuse. My parents were amazing people, like I love them dearly. They were just very young, and they had a lot of emotional issues from their past, from their parents, and unstable. Yeah. So that led to us going to foster care, that led to us, being neglected to a certain point. You know, my mom abandoned us when we were younger, like she couldn't do it. My dad couldn't take care of us at one point, you know, just like a lot of different like insecurities or like instabilities. Yeah. So definitely not a Christian home, but there was the gospel at one point, like a couple different points throughout my life, like when I was younger. Like I remember my dad going to church for like maybe, it was under a year definitely, and it was somewhere around when I was like 8 or something. And I just remember him saying the Lord's Prayer with me before he went to sleep. Yeah. And I remember having like this reoccurring dream of like just this omnipresence, like something huge like chasing after me. It was like a nightmare. And I didn't know what it was, but
so did that faith that you had, did it help you at all as you were going through these hard struggles and this instability growing up?
I feel like God really brought me to himself at 16. I was baptized at 14, right, with my aunt, but I didn't stop doing like living in an environment that was like unstructured. You know, I wanted to still live that lifestyle, and I didn't want to stop because I was used to it at that point. But at 16, I left out of that lifestyle. Like God kind of pulled me out, and I moved to Missouri, and I started looking for it on my own. Like I started just looking for the truth, and I started reading all types of books. So that's where my faith really got like a foundation, where I found out like Christ is God. And nobody told me, like I actually got to read it, and like it rang true to my soul. And I was like, oh yeah, like Christ is the truth, you know? And that's pretty much been instrumental in me like not giving up, and like times where when things got like really, really hard, or like really like I was just desperate for help and like in distress, when I would call to God and he would always deliver me, like every single time, like he always kind of brought me out of like situations that, I mean, most of the time I got myself into, but some of it's just circumstantial and based on like how I grew up, you know what I mean? Like I look back and I'm like, oh, it makes sense that I'm like how I am, or like that I lived the life that I did based on like my upbringing.
It was what you knew. It was your culture.
Yeah, it was pretty normalized to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how was that for you when you came out of that bar and you came around the corner and you saw this place called City Team. You took steps and you entered in. How was that when you first entered City Team for you?
It was really hard. The reality of the situation here is that I was asking for help and I wanted somebody to like help me, but I didn't know how to receive it. So I came in here and I thought I knew the answers because I already had a faith in God and it was a Christian program because I'd already had so many spiritual experiences, you know what I mean, with God. So I thought I understood like what all that meant. But the thing I didn't understand was like here at City Team, like the concept of surrender is like what comes first. Like this real like earth shattering, like surrender to God and realizing that like God's will to be done and not your own. And so until I experienced that, I basically couldn't do it. Like I couldn't actually do the program. Like I got kicked out at about 3 months in because of just my own arrogance to a certain degree. Yeah.
Well, you were used to living with your own resources and with everything that you knew and taking care of yourself. And I can see how it would be really, really hard to relinquish control to anything when you're used to living by your wits.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Pretty much it.
Now, what about trust? Was that a factor, too, trying to trust those that were offering help to you?
Huge factor. Huge factor. I didn't like authority figures. That was probably the issue, is that I didn't trust people and I didn't believe that they were going to help me or that they wanted to help me or that they cared to help me. I just kept fighting and kept, like, I look at it like I was taking the program's inventory. Basically, I was looking at them and pointing out all the things that they were doing wrong. And eventually, I had to, like, stop doing that. That's what changed. Like, I stopped doing that, and I started just taking my own inventory and just trusting the process.
We're visiting with Teddy Feldman. As he has been sharing about some of the challenges and struggles he's endured going through the program at City Team in Oakland. And we'll return to his story in just a moment.
Yes, it was so neat meeting Teddy and being there at City Team. Now, if you're enjoying this feature, we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any of the other platforms. You can also listen to us on a smart speaker. You simply say, Alexa, Siri, or Hey Google, play the podcast Connections with Rich and Bobby.
Also, join us on social media. You can friend us on Facebook, post on Instagram, and or tweet us on Twitter. And if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with us, perhaps about this interview with Teddy or about City Team, you may email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501. Now, let's return to our talk with Teddy Feldman as he continues with his story.
I got kicked out, and when I came back after about a month, I stayed sober. I came back, and something happened where I was sitting right over there on the couch, and I was like, I had a good day, and nothing was wrong. And then the voice inside my head that I always listened to told me I should leave. And I was like really conflicted, and I sat down. And I was really, really troubled. And one of the program staff walks by, or one of the interns, Mark Hu, and he goes, oh, you never have time to do your work, but you're just sitting here now. And I told him before, like, I struggled finding time to do my work, and he didn't know what I was going through at the moment. But I thought to myself, I said, well, he's got a point. If I'm going to stay or if I'm going to leave, if I'm still here right now, I might as well do the work. So I got up and I came in here and I started reading Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the first couple chapters. And they were talking about, like, not having a defense against the first drink and continuing to drink even when they didn't want to. And like, basically, like, this insanity, you know, that they had where they couldn't control their alcoholism. And I finally realized, I was like, that's me. I didn't realize that I didn't have a defense against the first drink, that I actually didn't think that I was crazy. That, like, because of, like, how I had drank and, like, how I had lived and all the things I had been subjected to, like, my mind, like, I was actually, like, insane. And that just really broke me. Like, it broke me, and I was just, I cried for, like, half a day. And because really what it boiled down to was that God was defending me against the first drink for those, like, 4 or 5 months that I was sober. Like, he was defending me because I wasn't defending myself. It was, you know, nothing I was doing right. It was just him having mercy and him defending me. And then, I mean, step two in Alcoholics Anonymous is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that's when I actually did step two. I actually, like, came to believe that God could, you know, restore me to sanity.
And you wanted that.
Yeah, I definitely wanted that because I didn't want to be crazy anymore.
Now, Teddy, as you surrendered your life to Christ, the Lord came in. He promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Did you experience his ever-presence within your life when you really submitted yourself to him to be Lord of your life and not just a God out there that maybe I'll call on you and maybe not?
That's funny. I had experienced that off and on throughout my life, like knowing that truth and having that truth and having God with me. But I really had it a year before I came in, like where I had repented. I had come back to, you know what I mean? Like I was living in Colorado. I had a girlfriend living together before marriage. I was drinking. And basically, I was just living a life like outside of God's will. Like, and I wasn't acknowledging God. I don't even think she knew I was a Christian or anything like that. And I definitely wasn't practicing anything. But when I came back, like when the relationship was ending and I actually repented and came back to God, like I had like this moment of like real clarity where God was like, I'm with you and I'll never leave you. Like his spirit came with like to me and like was with me and like stayed with me. And I had like this like big spiritual like experience where I knew like God was never going to leave me. And I understood that and I accepted it. I still went back out and like went on like another year long run before I ended up at City Team, like surrendered and broken.
It's all stages, I think. Yeah. It's a process, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a process. There's been different levels of, like, surrender and different levels of, like, understanding and productivity. Because I know that the scripture says that faith without works is dead. And so I think before I got here, my works were minuscule, you know, and, like, I didn't really have as much. And so now it's like I have an active faith and an alive faith because God's given me work to do.
Yes, or what we read in James 2, verses 14 through 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
Yes. And that's the task that is happening at City Team, as they're providing food, clothing, and shelter for all those who come in from the cold, dark streets, like Teddy did.
Yes. We've been visiting with Teddy Feldman at City Team in Oakland, California. And Teddy has more to share on our next podcast as he talks about his transition from a person seeking help to joining the staff and now helping others. So join us then, and don't miss it, and be sure to invite others to tune in as well.
Yes, and we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast. Just go to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or any of the other platforms. You can also listen to us on a smart speaker by simply saying, Alexa, Siri, or Hey Google, play the podcast Connections with Rich and Bobby. Then you may also join us on social media, such as Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
If you have any questions or comments, you may email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com. That's connect2richandbobby, Bobby spelt with an I, @gmail.com. Or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501. That's Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501. This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1, verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word.
And have a very blessed Thanksgiving.